Shalom Aleichem. Mishnah Yomi is in chapter 11 of Ketuvot at Mishnah Hey. You know, yesterday we discussed what happens if a widow sells assets from her deceased husband's estate and she sells more assets than she was authorized to do so, or she doesn't get as much money as she should have. That sale is batel, null and void. Now, what if the court is selling assets on behalf of a widow to collect Ketuvah, or even on behalf of the heirs, the orphans, to feed them, or on behalf of the estate to pay the debts of the estate? So what's the leeway we give to the court? So the Mishnah Hay explains, Shum Hadayonim, the estimation that the judges made, Shepihato Shtut, they decreased the value, they underestimated the value of a property by 1/6, Ohosifo Shtut, or they overestimated by 1/6, Michron Batel. That sale is null and void. However, if they erred by less than 1/6, then it would be good to go. So for example, something was really worth 600 zuz, and they sold it for 500, that's batel, but if they sold it for 501, still valid. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, he disagrees, he says, Michron Kayim, he says, even an error of 1/6, we consider it a valid sale, since the court has authority to do these financial transactions on behalf of the estate. The Tosfot Yontov points out if they erred by 100%, they sold something worth 100 for 200, everyone would agree that would definitely be batel. And down the road, when we get into Bava Metzia, we'll see that this 1/6 error is sort of the standard amount that someone's allowed to, you know, inflate prices in normal transactions. And a 100% error might be allowable for real estate, but is not normally allowable for anything. But God willing, we'll get there in Bava Metzia. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel explains, Im ken, ma koch betin yofe. If we say that their sale is invalid, then what good is it to go to court and have the sale of the estate assets be done through official channels? So we give the court more leeway. A volume also we give bikurit, but if they made a letter of inspection, and the Bartner explains, they made an announcement that everyone should come. It's an open house, an open field, an open vineyard. Everyone should come and see for themselves, assess the value of this property that the court is selling. Afilu machru shavim mani b'matayim, even if it was worth 100 and they got 200 for it, because it may be if you have a public auction situation, everyone's coming to look at it, you get more. Oh, shove them a time, but money. It was they thought it was worth 200, but they only got 100 for it, since they gave everyone a chance to come and bid on this property. Michron Kayim. So when they gave everyone in the public an opportunity to purchase the property, then their sale would be good, even if they really was a large mistake in valuation. Now on to Mishnah Vav, Hamima Enet. A young woman who performs miyun. Now, we talked all about miyun in chapter 13 of Yevamot. It was a situation where a young woman, and we mean quite young, her father had passed away. The father does have a power to marry off his minor daughter, though the Gemara says, do not try this at home. Do not do this. There's no crusades going on. Thank God. There's no bands of non-Jews abducting young girls. So thank God we don't have to do this. So in the absence of her father, she was married off rabbinically by her mother or older brothers, again, for her protection, so there was someone to provide for this young girl. So that when she comes of age, she can do miyun, she can walk out. So if she did so, the hashnia, or a woman who was married to a secondary arayot, a rabbinically prohibited marriage. We're talking about two grown-ups, but their marriage is rabbinically sinful. The ha'ailunit, and ailunit is from Lashon Ayal, it's a woman who cannot have children. And we're going to see that at the time of the marriage, her husband was under the impression that she would be a normal child-bearing woman, and it turned out later she developed certain signs, biological, physical signs that showed that she was not, you know, hormonally and biologically capable of having children. Ein lahem ketuvah. None of these women are entitled to a ketuvah. Even if they wrote a ketuvah, they're not entitled to it. Now, the girl who did miyun when she came of age, that's because she's walking out on the marriage of her own free will. It was a rabbinical marriage. She would have been entitled to ketuvah if she had continued and made it a deraisa, a biblical level marriage, but she decided to quit the marriage. The shnia is penalized. Her marriage is forbidden rabbinically. A shnia is a rabbinical erva, a rabbinically prohibited marriage. The rabbis penalized her since there aren't any biblical consequences to this forbidden marriage. They took away the rabbinic consequence. They said she loses her ketuvah. And the ailonit, this is a case where the husband thought she was able to have children, and it turns out she was not. So it's considered to be a mekach taut. It's considered to be a mistaken marriage, because he would not have done that marriage if he had known. So the Mishnah adds, it's not only ketuva, the man and matan they lose, lo perot, they don't get fruits if their husband or putative husband had eaten produce from their dowry property during the marriage or attempted marriage, they don't get reimbursed for that. Lo mizonot, they're not entitled to support. Obviously, during the marriage, you know, the husband is putting a roof over her head and feeding her, but they're not really entitled to it. Lo blayot, and not worn out property. So if they'd brought personal effects, furniture, clothing, a blanket into the marriage and it was totally worn out and unusable, they don't get compensated for that. The partner points out, obviously, if they brought their wool, their leather jacket or their mink coat into the marriage and it, you know, it had some wear and tear, but it's still usable, certainly the women get that back. Now the Mishnah adds, im mitchila, if originally, this refers to the Ilonit case, a woman who cannot have children, if the husband knew for a fact she could not have children and said, let's go ahead and get married anyway, Nisal l'shem Ilonit, he married her knowing she was Ilonit, yesh lo ketuva, she is entitled to the ketuva and all of the benefits of a marriage. There's no mistaken marriage here, he knew what he was doing. Now the Mishnah compares this to biblically forbidden marriages, almana l'kohen godol, a widow marrying a high priest, or a grusha v'chalutza l'kohen hedyot, a divorcee or a woman who underwent chalutza to free her to remarry instead of getting yibum, and she marries a regular kohen or a mamzeret, a illegitimate child, unetina or a natin, again that's the givonim, a tribe that's not allowed to intermarry with the Jewish people proper, the Yisrael to a normal Jewish person. Or the reverse case, a bot Yisrael, a normal Jewish girl, lenatin, to a natin givoni, a tribe, lemamzer, or an illegitimate boy, yesh lahem ketuva. It's a biblically prohibited marriage in all of these cases, but they are entitled to ketuva and the other benefits. Now the one, I say biblically prohibited, but chalutza is, it's actually a rabbinic prohibition for a kohen to marry a chalutza, but it's sort of given this quasi-biblical status. It's given such a strong status that it's always listed together with grusha. Mazel tov, tomorrow we'll start Bezrat Hashem, chapter 12. Zay gizunt.